Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant.
And I'm Jacob.
And there it is. Look at you, man. that's a good first go at it, you know? So everybody in North Carolina, all eight of you, are wondering, how did Campbell City Week 1 go?
Hey, week one was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Bex plus one kind of ran through everybody. You saw some things. I think we had one team go 0-4 out of the eight that were out there. But overall, it was a good day, man. It was a lot of good competition. Like I said, outside of Bex, they had, I think, a plus 207 point differential. It was wild. They were putting up 40 points a game and just running through everybody. But otherwise, it was great.
Now they just play their whole season in 1 week. Is that what they do?
Yeah. So what we offer is we offer most teams to come play 4-4, right? We also make the offer that if you want to come play your entire season in one day, you're welcome to it, you know, provided we got the opponents for it. So they elected to play all eight in one day. I think they actually ended up playing seven just because of how many opponents we had. And we've got the Queen City Bulls. We've got Carolina Reapers, we've got Fruition, and there's one other team playing all eight. We got four teams on October 5th playing all eight games in one day, and it'll be a full fun day for everybody.
Nice. So how many teams outside of North Carolina are there?
So this year or this season, it's all North Carolina. Nobody from DMV, nobody from Georgia, like we usually get. We're sticking close to home, keeping it a tight knit group this season. Let's go around.
Nice. So just real quick, you know, I know you've been really busy prepping for San Diego. Is there anything you're nervous about?
Just seeing Law, man. That's the only thing I'm nervous about. He, you know, I always get little butterflies in my stomach, but you know, the guy, he's a great dude. Really enjoy being around him, but nah, man, just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, you must have read my mind, because the one thing I'm nervous about right now is bringing this guy on the show. So just to introduce him, he is the reason that the Curry Bombshells won Nationals in Nashville this year. What up, Law?
Oh, man. What's up, guys? What's up, man?
Yeah, so I have in my notes here that for the co-ed pro championship in Nashville, you went 0-10 on catches. You went 0-10 on flagpoles. You threw six interceptions. Am I correct on these statistics?
The numbers are pretty close, but we won.
Okay, but and that's a wee, like you got a mouse in your pocket, or because you weren't there.
So. Our team, I did not make it. It was my wife's, it was our anniversary. So,
hold on, wait. We're not going to glaze over that. It's whose?
It was our anniversary, me and my wife. So I didn't make it. But the team went out and represented super well. Won co-ed, handled business, beat YTG, beat a bunch of good teams. I think we beat Shrooms on the last play of the game. I don't know if you guys were reffing it or not, but I heard it was really good games. So, super proud of the guys.
Yeah I was reffing Co-Ed Pro. I didn't see the Bombshells until the playoffs, and I went all the way through the championship with them. So, it was definitely exciting to watch. It was one of those things. Those were great games, back and forth. No false starts this time, like that happened in Arizona to you guys. So, you know, You don't remember that?
I don't. What happened?
Cost you the game.
Oh my god.
You were playing TC United.
And
one of your receivers, not a normal receiver that plays with you guys. So, you know, there must have been some miscommunication. It was third down, under a minute left.
Wow.
She false starts, turnover on downs, TC United runs out the clock.
Oh, I forgot about that. And I'm glad I forgot about that.
Now, you know, that's a negative, but I got to give you credit for what you did in the game before that when you were playing the Freaks. And you accepted a penalty, or you declined a penalty so that the touchdown was a male touchdown. And you trusted that your offense was going to march down the field and get 7 points, and that's exactly what you did to beat the Freaks. So, you know, hats off to you for doing that. That's like advanced IQ for sure. So,
see, there he is giving you some cred, man. That's like we're making progress.
You know,
I'm gonna leave that clip.
There you go. So, speaking of advanced IQ, I know you've been in the flag football game forever. Now, not as long as the guests we had a couple weeks ago, Pat and George, you know, they were representing flag way back when VCRs were still being used. But, you know, if they're Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, you fall somewhere around like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson era, right? Like you're like the next tier, right? So share that origin story with us, Law.
Magic is crazy. But it might be pretty close. In a nutshell, we started way back in 2008, I believe. There's a big Fijian festival. It's called Fiji Fest, and it's like a cultural event. So a bunch of like food vendors. It's such a good time, and they have a big soccer tournament. So we went to the soccer tournament, checked it out. We were like, what if it would be cool to have a flag football tournament? So the next year we did. And it was called the Fiji Flag Football Tournament. And then ever since then, it was just Fijians, my cousins, my buddies. For the first tournament, for about a couple of years, we did it. And then people wanted to join, and now we're a massive, massive company.
Got you. So come on, fill in some more details. 2008, we're in 2024. Like, you can't just tell me about one tournament and now you guys are, you know, this
kings of the world.
So we kept running tournaments, small tournaments, 6 teams, 8 teams, 10 teams, 12 teams, and just word of mouth kept spreading. We kept doing a good job. We just had a bunch of teams start coming. Some travel from out of state. Now me, Abdullah, Show You Right Zone, I'm sure you heard of. So we all just have big leagues. We have a league on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, co-ed, men's, women's. It's pretty dope. It's pretty, pretty dope. Actually, when I first started traveling to Florida and Texas, the Texas folks would tell me, like, they have a league every single night of the week, and it blew my mind. Like, how is that even possible? Like, where are you getting all these people from?
Right.
And ultimately, it was like, the people are always there. They just don't know we exist. So now that we're doing all the marketing and stuff and word of mouth, people in different cities are finding out about flag football, and they're like, oh, I want to play. I played in high school, or I played in middle school, or I played in college. And then they show up, they see the vibe, they see Abdullah, they see me, they see us laughing and joking, and like, it's competitive, but it's also fun, right? So folks stick around. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, recently the United States national team was in Finland. I know you have some experience. Again, this is like old school stuff when you guys were wearing really baggy ESS jerseys, but you did a little traveling yourself, right?
Yeah, we went to Amsterdam, played with ESS, Tronky, Lulu, a bunch of those guys. We went to the Philippines, played in a tournament out there with Hidden Village. We played, where else have we played? Amsterdam, Philippines, Mexico. There's a big Mexico tournament that we played in, Cancun Bowl. I don't know if you guys ever went to it. Man, I'm sure. Oh, you've never been to any Mexico tournament?
No.
Yo, it's.
It's on the bucket list. They asked me to come down next year, so.
It's a whole different world, man. Like, the community, the vibe, the sportsmanship while you're playing, it's pretty cool. It's really, really cool. They're really bought in. There's a ton of teams. The competition's so good. All our games were super, super close. They do play, like, the Olympic rules, so it's, like, 20-minute halves. The games feel like it's forever.
Yeah.
We went with, I think, 6 or 7 guys, and we were cooked. We were cooked. We made it to the ship, but we were cooked.
Yeah. I heard something like this, they're celebrating like their 50th anniversary of flag football in Mexico.
That is nuts.
That's cool. That's really cool to think about.
Yeah, so they've been doing it for a while. So, anything else you want to add about your history? I know you guys have some goofy number like 972. What is that number? Come on, man.
It sounds outrageous, but the number's actually probably higher. So we play in all our local leagues for the past 10 years, and we've had a good group of guys. So we've been winning. We're probably like the Bex plus one in South Carolina. Like, as long as you have those 3 or 4 guys and then you just build around it, you just end up winning. So we've been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, yeah, Jacob, I want to show you something.
What's that? Hey man, so that's the first time I ever met Law. So let me tell that tournament, man. Do you remember how that tournament went? So we show up. So we're in Richmond, Virginia. This is right in the middle of COVID. They told us, yeah, we can play. We're good to go. Blah 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 blah. The plan was we had a complex. We had 6 fields. I think it was 6 full size fields at one complex, and then they gave us a high school to use as kind of like a satellite option to get through Saturday morning. So I think Law was like on this like superstar team. It was like, I think that Travis put together. It was like Travis, Corey Webb, was Marshall on the team?
It was me, Marshall, Devon, Will, and
one of the Rymel brothers.
Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, Jeff played.
And Travis. So there's 6 of us for the whole tournament.
Yeah, 6. They played. You played 4s and 5s, or just 5s?
Both 4s and 5s.
Okay, so they played both. I think you made it to the championship in both, or close. They won 5s.
Game winner.
So, we're out there. I didn't really know these guys. I really didn't know Travis at the time. This was right before I started working for FFWCT. But I just remember this goofy dude telling me, "You got to come to California. You got to come to California. You got to come to California." And the whole weekend, we're linked up, we're talking, he's talking contact with me, he's asking me different questions about things, and I'm like, who is this dude? And finally make the connection, like we keep talking everything, and ever since then, man, the rest has been history. There's a chicken sandwich that will never be bought that, you know, that Law owes me that we'll never talk about, but you know what, he's a great dude, and I think the world of the guy. And it's hilarious that you're wearing that ECN shirt. And if I would have known you were going to, I would have broke mine out. I think mine's like an extra large, and I'm up to like a 3X now. We've been like a crop top for you.
Sounds like you've been eating chicken sandwiches.
Well, you know, because somebody won't buy them for me.
It was such a great event, man. We had so much fun. There was a ton of teams. All the teams we played against were like super, super cool. And the competition wasn't crazy. Like, I think ESS was out there, and then a bunch of the local teams were out there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was for non-contact. It was Pittsburgh heavy. There was a couple DMV teams. Like you said, ESS came in. I think they won 4s. I think they won 4s. You guys won 5s, if I remember right, or vice versa, however it
was. Yeah. No, we won 5.
Man, yeah. But it was a good time.
Well, as we're sharing stories, Law, you probably don't remember this, but the way you and me met was playing against each other for a few years. And you know, it was like when I put a team together and we were traveling, we knew we were either going to play Curry Bombers or LA Showtime. And I will admit, honestly, I think we maybe only beat you one time. And that was over like a 2.5-year span. We struggled against you guys, and you know, but it was always a challenge. And every time I had the opportunity to draft, I wanted to go against you guys, and I wanted to take the chance at trying to beat you guys, you know, because you guys were definitely, you know, a team to beat. So once we got into the pro division, I know sometimes you would enter teams into like comp and rec, and that's where we would meet you guys. But once we entered into the pro division, we were way out of our league. We had no business being in there. And but the best game that we had in Chicago Nationals was against you guys. Not only was it fun, but it was a close game. You know, I put together a highlight reel that basically showed our best plays, even though you guys ended up winning. So, you know, but after that, when I moved out to California and I started reffing, taking that more serious, I remember running into you in Tampa, and I was officiating one of your games, and you didn't recognize me at all. And I'm like, "La, come on." You're like, "Oh yeah, my name's La." And I'm like, "I know who you are. What are you doing right now?"
And you look so different from a player to a ref. You were all official.
Yeah. You are. Yeah. So, speaking about playing, and you know, you talk about you running, you know, tournaments and leagues and all this stuff. So the way I got my start is I ran a league out of Colorado, Northern Colorado. It was just a men's league. We called it the Bro Championship Series. It was really geared towards mentoring young men. And so we would bring teenagers around just to kind of organically mentor kids. For a while there, though, we would have, you know, maybe three or four teams. And so I had to play. It put me at a disadvantage if there was something going on the other field, or, you know, when I'm playing, something breaks out. It got to a point where I was like, I got to step back and not be a player anymore. But when initially the advantage of me playing was I could always bring a team. I always knew I was going to be able to bring a team. So, how do you feel about the whole, you know, being a director, being a player? What are the advantages?
So we started running tournaments because there were other events that were being ran that weren't like, I guess, top notch or like quality events. So we were like, oh, we can run better events. So when we started running the events, like you said, I could always bring a team because I know a lot of guys and we make it happen. So our team ended up usually winning. So I'm hosting these tournaments and I'm winning the tournament. It's like, oh, they're only winning because he's hosting the tournaments. So I stopped playing in them. But when I stopped playing in them, this is stupid. Then people started complaining, oh, Law, we want you to play. Cause you know, I talk a lot of smack and I'm constantly like just chirping at folks and people love that. And they're like, oh, well, they'll travel from out of state from, you know, 6 hours away, whatever, but they'll only play in the tournament if Law plays. So now it was like back and forth. It was just, it's kind of weird. Some teams want the competition. Some teams just have an excuse for everything. But short answer, it's easier to not play and just run everything because, like you said, there's something going on the other field that I can address. I just like to be very, very like hands-on. So as a player, that's hard to do.
Jacob, you got?
Yeah, so I was – well, you kind of – he kind of answered my question. I was going to say, you know, for me, you know, I've – of the, like, I guess 8 years now I've been running events, I've played in one, right? And the first time I played, I played in my own event. I realized immediately, like, I can't do this because if something happens, I can't focus on playing, but also focus on what's going on in the tournament and try to balance that and be fair for both ends. So usually my question was going to be like, what's a con for you for doing that? Like, how do you try to balance that within, you know, within doing both? But, well, I guess, yeah. So how do you balance that while you're playing?
Actually, I'm super, super lucky now to have a strong supporting cast. So yeah. I have, like, Nick, you know, my brother Nick, he plays, but he also, when he's not playing, he'll help run the event. He'll help ref. He'll help make sure everything's smooth. I have Josh. I have Abdullah. So a lot of these events me and Abdullah do together. So yeah. Abdullah will not play. I'll play. And then if there's a division he wants to play in, he could play and I could run the thing. So we're constantly working together. So it works out with that type of balance.
Does that cause you guys any issues? Like, you know, if he says he wants to play and you say you want to play, You guys ever have like a balance issue of like being able to say like, okay, this time you play, this time I play, you know, go back and forth like that?
I think me and him are two of like some of the most selfless guys.
Yeah.
If that ever came up, we'd both just say, hey, how about we both just not play? Just so we don't have any type of conflict. But he's such a good dude. In his eyes, he'd be like, Lawrence, you just play, I'll run everything. And I'll be like, oh, that's not fair. We're running this event together. And we'd have that little thing where it's like, you know, like when you go to a restaurant, like, oh, I'll pay, you pay, I pay, you pay. It's kind of like that.
I just grabbed the bill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not an argument.
I mean, that's a law. That's wild to me because in Southern California, it's the exact opposite. Nobody gets along. No leagues will run events together. It's crazy. And, you know, there's a lot of issues around, like, Tough League and then branches off that run kind of the same format, but they don't get along with Tough. And so going up to San Francisco, the couple times I was able to go up there and be an official, it was mind blowing to me where I'm like, oh wow. Like you guys have like three or four organizations here. You guys all partner together, like make it happen. And like you said, I mean, you guys are selfless about it. So, you know, again, kudos to you to be able to pull that off. I think that's rare.
We got super lucky. Super, super lucky.
So, you know,
the West Coast, Northern California folks, the Bay Area folks, they are a different breed, man. It's just a different breed out here of folks that just care about the game and want to see everybody grow. Obviously, you have your one or two donkeys that try to mess it up for everybody. But outside
of
that.
Yeah, they're out back keeping my electricity on.
Outside of that. It's a good group of folks.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a pretty big population and talent pool. I mean, that's, you know, I know Jacob does not have the same situation in North Carolina where, you know, people are driving 3-4 hours to be able to play. You guys got a lot of people concentrated in the Bay Area to be able to make that stuff happen.
True.
Yeah. So moving on to the next topic. Jacob, you have something else to add? Or
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay, moving on to the next topic. Full transparency, I went to Dallas, Texas 1 year, played in the Cowboy Stadium tournament. I don't know if you ever did that, Law, but we were, you know, we found great success in that tournament. That's actually the tournament I blew my knee out in. But in fives, we made it all the way to the championship. We lost in overtime on longest yard. That night, we were in the fours tournament, and we had gone undefeated in pool play. We knew what we were capable of. We just wanted to be able to win that ring. We get to the championship. We're beating the team going into the second half, and this was rec, again, not pro. The pro championship finishes. Four players come over from the pro championship, join the other team, and jump onto the field. So I will tell you right now, and I have no problem in admitting this, I challenged it. I pulled a roster check, and I got my ring because of that. Because we were winning. Now, I know that there is a stigma around roster check, and a lot of people just won't do it. They'll talk about it. They'll whisper, hey, the Curry Bombers, you know, they travel with these Bay Area teams, and rec players are playing in pro and vice versa and this and that. Law, have you ever done a roster check or a challenge related to it?
Oof. Never in my lifetime have I ever done a roster check. And I'm not against it. I think if you're in the pro, because we've only played pro level, I don't think a roster check at the pro level should ever happen. But at the rec and comp level, totally fine with it. I don't think I've never played in rec or comp. So I don't think pro players should play in rec and comp. Have I seen it happen? Yes. I'll leave it at that. I've never done it myself. I have never done it myself. And I wouldn't do that. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's fair. So I wouldn't do that.
So, all right. So with that, we do have the stigma, you know, pro players, you know, So do you still think it's okay for a pro team to roster check at any point?
With another pro team? I don't know. That's just weird.
All right, so let me give you a situation. So you're playing – let's just use Pat and George. Okay, they were on the show a couple weeks ago. So let's use those two. So Pat's playing. He just won. George's team loses. You're getting ready to play Pat's team in the championship. Pat goes up to George and says, hey, give me J-High, give me Pablo, and give me Vel. I want to make sure I win. Are you going to let him play?
I would go up to the captain and be like, hey, I think that's weak. They just played on another team. But I wouldn't roster check. Because we're so used to playing BTB, YTG, and they're all just as good as everyone else, right?
Sure,
I wouldn't roster check because...
See, I struggle at any level, like, in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I get the... I'm a firm believer against roster checks to begin with, like, at a fundamental level, because it's play who's on the field. However, if I see something like that where it's just that glaring, I'm going to say something.
Yeah, and I would too. I would say it to the captain, like, that's not cool. And if they don't respect it, I want to beat you even more.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that adding those people will mess up the chemistry because you played four games, you know, without them, and now they're jumping on, and maybe they'll mess things up. But again, like you said, Pablo and
– I mean, and those are just obviously, like, those are, you know, crazy examples.
Yeah.
I mean, if they pull those three players off and we're like, hey, here we go. Like, wait a minute, man. Am I that good?
Yeah.
Well, and Sharon, from my perspective, a team out of Colorado, we had to travel long distances. We had to dish out a lot of money to go to Florida or Texas or, you know, any of those situations. So we would bring out the eight guys that we had. And that was, I mean, we were all crammed into a small Airbnb. Now we're playing a Texas team or a Florida team because we're in Tampa. And it's so much easier for them to just pick up random players. You know, so do you see, you know, the perspective of that where a team has traveled and put all this money out and the local team can just do that?
We see it all the time. Every time we go to Worlds, every time we went to North Carolina for a tournament. I think it was a Weekend Warrior tournament. And I think they were called Kings of Florida back then. We played in a 7-man tournament. They had a roster of like, God, it was like 30. It felt like 30 people.
That's probably what it was because I used to be a roster.
We had a roster of like 9, and we're playing 7 men. Obviously, that's our fault. We're flying all the way from the West Coast. We should have had more people, blah, blah, blah. But they just had, it felt like 30 people, and they were just jumping in, jumping out, jumping in, jumping out. It was a close game, but we ended up losing by a score. Could we have roster checked? Absolutely. But we didn't want to win. I mean, going to North Carolina and winning off a roster check would be kind of weird. We don't care about, like, the physical ring or something. We want to beat the best teams and earn it.
So here's another situation. Do you remember in Vegas back in 2021 in 5 contact at the end of the – I don't know if you were around at that point. You might have already left. 16 seconds left in the game. You know the other team – You know a player's been camped out on their team that's not on the roster. Or you think that the player's not on the roster. He's supposed to be on yours. Are you going to check it?
No. But, I mean. So, wait, he's camped out and he didn't play or he did play?
Oh, no, he played. But he's been on their team for basically the whole weekend. He was supposed to play with you. He never got put on the roster.
Oh. He played with them the whole weekend.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't roster check that.
You know what happened with that? They forgot someone to fill out the roster.
And then?
So the dude who was supposed to be on the roster, that nobody was on the roster. They picked anyone and won that way.
Oh, wow.
It was brutal.
Oh.
And that was a pro championship, right?
Oh.
Yep.
Did they play the game? How far along in the game were they?
There were 16 seconds left in the game.
Oh, God.
The lights went out, and that's when they said, we don't want to wait anymore. We're down by, like, 9 points. Clock's running.
I was there. Yeah. I do remember that. That was sickening.
Yeah. It was.
I'm surprised that fight didn't break out because they were living.
There almost was a couple fights.
They were living.
Yes, they were.
And money on the line, right, for that game?
Two grand.
Okay, so law. There's no amount, you know, $10,000, $15,000. None of those situations are going to make you say, man, this isn't right because you brought Mark over from another game with a minute left and he took over the game. We were winning.
Everybody has and a dollar that, amount, law.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm taking my head. Oh, man. Yeah, if it's like a 10 grand like event, like a $10,000 event, before I roster check, though, I would still go up to either the captain or the quarterback and the coach.
Give them an opportunity.
Give them the chance. Like, yo, if you don't let him not play, we're going to roster check because we want to still beat you guys. But give them that opportunity. I would still do
it. Yeah, I respect that.
10 grand, I, 10 grand, man.
Yeah.
20 bucks is 20 bucks, isn't it?
Oh man. Well, and as an official, every time that I've been on, you know, in a game when a roster check happens, usually it happens when a team is getting blown out. And they just happen to say, you know, before the second half, they've clearly gotten together as a team on the sideline and they say, okay, this is where we're gonna, you know, we're gonna roster check. You know, I know you weren't in Nashville, but it did happen in Nashville, and there was some controversy around it. And it happened to be with a player that is out of the Bay Area. Now, she played in the Co-Ed Pro Championship, and she happened to appear in the Co-Ed Amateur Championship. So somewhere in like the quarterfinals of the co-ed amateur playoffs, a team was losing and she was, you know, making a big impact in that game. Mm. It put that Bay Area team up, you know, by a couple scores because she was a receiver. She's catching it. She's getting 9 points both times. So they're up and the quarterback comes up to me and says, we're going to do a roster check. Here she is. We saw her in the picture of winning the championship. How do you feel about that situation?
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. If you played in the pro division, do not go play in the rec. I do not like it. Yeah. So what ended up happening?
Well, she was legal. So she wasn't on the pro roster. She was on the amateur roster. So our hands were tied, you know, from a logistics standpoint. Unfortunately, I mean, you think about it, you know, if I win a championship, I could take, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry all off the street, put them in the picture, and everybody could say, oh, cool, they're in the picture, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, the only way we verify is off of rosters and actually like what's on paper.
Is there an alternative to, like, fix that?
We're talking about ways to rectify that. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, it's not right.
But, yeah. Agreed. I totally agree.
Yeah. But by what we've got right now on paper, like that's what happens.
So. I've had conversations with my guys about it. And I've just stated how I felt about it and then let them make their own decision. But yeah. I am not a fan of doing that.
At the end of the day, everybody's a grown adult. They got to know what, you know, I agree with that.
Yeah, so just switching to a different kind of challenge. Law, you are a veteran player, and you are somebody that will you might know the rules, you might, but you are going to see an official that's maybe a little younger or new, and you are going to question everything that they do to try to maybe get them to go a different way on a call or something like that. That's what veteran players do. So now let's talk about a situation where maybe you disagree with a rule being stated, or you just think about like, oh man, that was definitely not a catch. Have you had a situation where you have challenged a procedure or challenged a call and gotten directors involved?
The first part of that, where if there's a new ref or a younger ref, I would never would attack them. I think that's wrong. I think that's messed up. I've seen it happen with a bunch of people, but I wouldn't do that. I personally have not done that. But the second part of it, if there's a questionable call, game was on the line, would I get the director involved just to clear up the answer? Because sometimes a ref can make a call not knowing the rule of what they're calling, right? Like, what's a catch? I don't want to say flag catch because Lance is going to choke me out. what is it, a catch? Is it not a catch? Is it 2 feet? Is it 1 foot? Is it hands on the ball, feet down? Is it hands on the ball, feet in the air, still a catch, right? There's so many different parts of it of what can be called. So, yeah, would I get clarification from a director? Yeah, of course. I think that happened with us in, I don't know if it was Vegas or Arizona. We were playing 4-4 versus Thunder. L.A., of course.
L.A.
Like, Thundercats, our guy, we throw last play of the game, throw the ball, hits off his chest. He grabs it. I think he was inbounds when it first hit it off his chest. Lands out of bounds, 1 foot in, 1 foot not in. Ref called him out of bounds. He didn't have possession. Actually, do you remember, Jacob?
Yeah, I do remember that. So you were right. It hit off his chest, and the ball went back up. And as it hit off his chest, his foot was in bounds. When he got the ball in his hands, he was out.
Okay.
That's what happened. And they tried to come back with video and say, oh, well, this and this. And I'm like, well, if you look at the video, he's out of bounds.
Yeah.
And that was what the tough break was. So, because I mean, like at the end of the day, and I think you agree with this, like during a game, I'm not going to look at video. I don't want to see it. I don't care about it at that time. After the game, we can look at it and I'll tell you right, wrong, and different, because at the end of the day, these guys have to go with their own two eyes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't have somebody videoing, you know, every game from every angle. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, any kind of clarification, stuff like that, it's always appreciated, because, you know, I'd rather us just all get it right, you know, in somewhat of a calm manner, rather than, you know, where some teams, you know, and fortunately, I will compliment Law and all the Curry Bomber guys on this. They usually don't absolutely just lose their minds like some of these other teams do. You know, most of the time they want to know what it's being called, why it's being called, and, you know, if right, wrong, indifferent, you know,
we'll live with it.
To live with it. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Law, the only reason I say that you sometimes mess with officials is I remember you asking me one time, and I know you know this rule, is false start, loss it down?
Okay. But to my defense, if I played a bunch of games and I was delusional, I may have asked you that for sure. Because when I'm out of breath, which is most of the time, I don't know what I'm thinking.
I'm having fun with you. But it's actually, I don't mind veteran players really like nitpicking and going, because as an official, it makes me better. It challenges me to make sure that I know the rules front and back. Every which way, I know the scenarios. When scenarios come up that I don't know, I try my best to throw them at Jacob so that he can then figure out what the answer is, and, you know, where in the high school rule book he has to find the answer to it, or, you know, things like that. That is the advantage, I guess, of veteran players. But I do know that there are veteran players out there that look at it and say, oh, this official's wearing basketball stripes. They're sagging their pants a little bit. Maybe I can mess with them. Maybe if I make a little noise, I can get a call one way or the other, you know? I mean, ultimately, this is, you know, this isn't the NFL where, you know, the refs make their call and that's it. There's really no point in arguing. I heard the announcer in CBS this past weekend say about Ja'Marr Chase, don't upstage the official. It was a situation where he had made a catch and he got tackled in kind of a weird way, whatever that rule is around the way that they tackle him down. It's like a wrestling move, essentially. Mm. He came, before he even got up off the ground, he's like going like this, where's the flag? And then he wouldn't stop. And the official was like, back off. And he kept chirping, and finally he got those 15 yards. So, you know, I think it's one of those situations, is conversation, clarification, that's good. Definitely, I agree with Jacob. Curry Bombers are not going to be the ones that explode on officials. And that is, you know, that is a big difference between the Curry Bombers and some of the other proteins that really just, they will go, they will really let it go. And so I appreciate that as well. I've also had you guys send me a few videos of calls, and I know what you guys are pointing out in slow motion.
There was a phantom call you called in the championship game. You said our girl pushed off the guy. She was wiping his hands because he was putting his hands on her. And we got an illegal offensive contact penalty on that.
I just have one question.
Fire that guy.
Is that format non-contact?
Yes.
Okay.
So why you call on the defense? So the defense put his hands on her. She knocked his hands down for putting his hands on her.
It's always the second person that gets called.
That's true. That is true.
That's how it works. That's how it works.
I've never seen it called, and I am so impressed. Especially girl to guy. I love the equality. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what I mean? They're out there. If they make contact in non-contact format, you know? If there's anybody that's going to make a phantom call law, it's me. I'm the one.
No, you call what you thought you saw.
Jacob, any more questions you have for Law around challenges?
Around challenges? No, I mean, I think that's a lot of it, man. Just, you know, is because you can get into rule clarification and all that good stuff. But I think the biggest thing that usually comes up is roster challenges. So I think we covered that pretty well.
You mentioned the refs and like picking on refs. I will say that we never try to pick on refs specifically, but if like a ref is not calling something, like if they're not calling any grabbing and stuff, I'll tell my guys, hey, ref's not calling the holds and the grabs. Hold and grab. They're doing it to us. Might as well do it to them. Like, we don't want them to have an unfair advantage because the refs is letting us play. So if they're letting us play like a lot of hand fighting and grabbing, cool. Just remind the guys, hey, we can do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jacob.
I was going to say, man, so I used to, when I was playing, I used to take the first two drives and figure out what they're going to call, what they're not going to call, and then base the rest of the game off of that. And I'd be cool. You know, no matter what, at the end of the day, as long as you're consistent with it, I don't care, you know? That's as a player, that's the way I was. You know, now as a director, obviously, I want to on point and everything. But yeah, as a player, I was just looking for consistency. I didn't care, you know, one way or another.
It's funny because as an official, I look at the first two drives to see how whiny the players are going to be.
That's true too.
You know, if we're doing a fives contact game, and the linemen on both sides of the ball are just whining every single play about holding and, you know, this and that. Okay, I guess we're going to nitpick then. This is where we're going to be, you know, where, you know, for me coming from contact and being on the line, I want to let the trenches just have fun out there. So, you know, that's where I lean. But then if it becomes, okay, they're just whining about everything. All right, cool. Then we're just going to call everything. And, you know, then it becomes about penalty flags and yardage instead of who the better team is.
We actually held a tournament and had a contact division, and we were short ref, so I decided to ref it, and I was refing by myself. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a massacre. Like, this is going to be a horrible experience. It was the absolute opposite. The guys were battling, hitting each other. If they hit above the neck, they would apologize to each other, hug each other. Hey, my bad, bro. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? They didn't say a single word to me. There was a bunch of times where the rusher, it was close where he could have considered have the sack or not have the sack. He pulled it. He looked at me. I was like, balls off. And it happened like three times. Never yelled at me. Never cussed at me. I'm so confused. Like, I thought the contact guys would be like, because they're hitting each other. It was the opposite. I was so impressed. I loved it.
You loved it so much that you want to give contact a try at some point as a player?
If there wasn't so many non-contact divisions, like if we went to a tournament and there was only one non-contact division and the rest were contact, we do play contact. So we've played 8-man contact, we've played 5-man contact when it's that situation.
Wait a minute. So, where did you guys play contact?
So they played – hold on. I've seen this because he got Hollywood to play with him at Worlds. They played 8 contact. Yep. If I'm not mistaken, you guys – I think you guys won a game or two.
Yeah, we did well.
Now, they didn't it in 5, but they played 8.
Yeah, we played 8-man contact at Worlds. PCB. It was PCB.
Yeah, yep.
We had Hollywood – Our back stack was Eric Holiday. Nick was quarterback. But we just went spread.
Yeah. That's what we didn't want. Kings of Florida didn't want it all.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was really cool. But the other teams we played against hated it because their big guys couldn't play because we were all spread out and running around.
Yeah, definitely.
You see how surprised, he looked when I said that we played contact?
Who?
And
See, the thing is, I've been asking you for years to come play contact, and you won't do it. So,
I won't
at this point,
just
tell Nick to go on the field. I'll stand in front of him.
Ooh, I would need somebody like DK.
Oh wow. Okay, so I just got tossed to the side for him. That's cool. Okay, I'm gonna remember that this weekend.
You and DK.
Too late. All right. So, La, I heard you make a statement just around, if you're noticing that officials are letting players play a little bit. So that leads me into the next topic about player myths. When I went up to the Bay Area, one of the player myths that I heard, and I actually had a conversation with some of the guys on the sideline about this one. I think sometimes players just create their own rules. And they just kind of in their head and word spreads. And it just – everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's just how it is. So, for example, if you dip, you can't flag guard. Have you ever heard that myth before?
If you dip, you can't flag guard? No, I thought if you dip and put your hands down, you can flag guard, especially on the side that the guy is coming to pull your flag.
I love it.
Here's a fun one. If you dip, you give yourself up.
But see, now that's a little tricky part of what that means. If you dip, can I just tackle you? If you dip, can I lower my shoulder and knock you over? If you dip, can I grab you and pull you to the ground? If you dip, can I push your hips to the ground?
In contact.
The very last thing is the only one that carries a little bit of merit. Okay. And that's only in contact. If you dip does not mean you could just obliterate somebody. Only thing that changes is that strike zone where you pull the flag. It just slides down slightly. Everybody thinks that if you dip, you can just blow somebody up and it's okay. And it's not the case.
Can I softly tackle you?
Only if you take me to dinner first.
No, I'm serious because once they dip, I'm in position. I can wrap up, pull flags, but I can also like gently take them to the ground. It won't look brutal. It won't look like I blasted them. Is that okay?
No, it's still illegal contact because, I mean, you're playing non-contact.
You're making contact.
So the big thing – so think of it kind of like pushing a player out of bounds, right? If you're on their hips, you're going for the flag, and you just kind of nudge them along, same concept. If you nudge them along like that, obviously there's going to be a difference between tackling somebody, shoving them to the ground, that kind of thing. You know, and even if you do touch somebody and they fall over, it's going to be in the judgment of the official, you know, incidental or not.
Gotcha. So I've seen it where third and long, run a deep dig to get the first. Guy jumps up to catch it. He catches it. DB comes to pull the flags, but pushes them out of bounds so their feet don't land in bounds. What's the call?
Sucks to suck. Where'd the little thought bubble come from?
I don't know what that was.
I didn't even see it. Do it again.
Dude, no, you did it. yeah, man. I mean, at that point, your feet are out of bounds. You got to land in bounds. That sucks.
So I could ride him out of bounds, essentially, yeah, it's gonna, if I'm going for the flags.
If you're going for the flag and you're not, I mean, you don't shove him out. I mean, that's a tough one.
I'm calling it.
Sorry, good. Calling everything. No, if it's player safety, I absolutely love the call. If it's player safety. I'm all for it.
But I will say, as far as non-contact goes, I'm a strict official. And especially if I'm on a four-man crew, I'm calling everything I see.
Good.
Now, if I'm on a two-man crew, there's blind spots. And we're going to miss a lot of stuff. You know, I've brought up in the past the perfect example of the stripping penalty. In a two-man crew, that's basically, if I'm on the line of scrimmage, that's basically impossible for me to see. Because what we're looking for in stripping is that it's touched their hands, and then someone bats the ball out of their hands. We're not looking for possession. Well, on the line of scrimmage, I'm focused on the quarterback, and my eyes come down late. And my other official, they're not on that matchup, then they're going to see something else. You know, so, but in a four-man crew, I'm probably going to see that stripping, and if I see it, I'm going to call.
So, speaking of play, I don't want to get too far off to rules and stuff. I'm a quarterback. I got my Pat Mahomes on. I throw a sideways pass. As I'm throwing my sideways pass, they're reaching for the flag. I'm flag guarding. They're roughing the passer. What are we doing? Is it a roughing the passer? Is it a flag guard? I've seen it called where they say it's a flag guard and a roughing the passer and replay down. But I've also seen the other way where it's just flag guard or it's just roughing the passer.
Jacob has a perfect question for you.
As a what?
No, Jacob, you've always explained this really well. You have a question in response to what he just explained as far as the sidearm goes.
Was the flag guarded?
No, where's his throwing motion?
What's his throwing motion? Sidearm.
What's the throwing motion? If that's your natural throwing motion, how can it be a flag guard?
Because I'm guarding my flag.
Where's your flags at?
My hips. And I throw like this.
Yeah, you're still not flag guarding at that point. Your flags are still below that. I'm not calling that a flag guard. I'm calling that a roughing. If your natural throwing motion is affected, okay. I'm sticking with the roughing. Now, at that point, I'm not mad at a offsetting penalty like that. If that's how they view it, you know, because again, that's in their judgment. But I'm not calling. I'm calling one. I'm calling roughing on that. Is that what you were saying? Yeah. I was going to say, Ant.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've basically said unless that quarterback is doing it to draw the penalty, you know, they've been throwing normal the entire game and they notice that the rush keeps coming in on that side of their, you know, their hip, draw that penalty.
Dude, what are you doing? Like, you quit doing the Harry Houdini?
Ant, what if it's in the goal line and my normal throwing motion is this, but we're in the goal line. They're up. I got Fred McDonald rushing me. I have to throw. Now I have to change my motion now because it's Fred McDonald on me.
He's 87 years old. You should be able to. You should not be in that situation.
And so, La, what you want officials to do is change the way they call things based on the game and where they are on the field?
No, I just want if I'm guarding my flag, I want that to be called. If I'm not, if I'm being roughed up while I'm thrown, I want that to be called.
So which one do you want?
I want to protect the quarterback. I want to protect the quarterback at all times. So I always say it's roughing the passer as well.
I'm looking at throwing motions. That's the biggest thing. If you've been throwing, if you throw 98 passes overhand and all of a sudden you change your throwing motion, I'm not calling that.
Even though we're in the goal line? And I
don't care where we are. We're on the 1 yard line or the 100 yard line.
Okay.
I just feel like, I feel like that train of thought then would also say you shouldn't call false start on the last minute of the game.
poor PI on the last play of the game.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
We should call a false start when it happens in the first minute of the game or the last minute of the game. Either way, it's still a false start, so we need to call it if we see it.
That's a sucky way to end, but I agree.
It's horrible.
Absolutely.
I watched She Unit lose in overtime, I think in a semifinal game, to a false start.
Oof.
No. It was a delay of game. It was even worse. At the time, delay of game was a loss of down. They were going for the extra point. Referees called out. I sat there. I watched. I listened to it. All of a sudden, and you could see the look on his face when he did it. He was sick.
Oh.
But he did it.
Ant would slow down his clock. He'd go 5, 4, 3, 3, 3.
That's great.
Hey, so, another thing I want to bring up. This is something I hear all the time, absolutely, when I'm officiating pro games. Law, you are a pro player, or as I think, maybe you're an elite player that jumps up to pro. But do you think pro players should be allowed to get away with more?
No, absolutely not.
Have you heard pro players make that statement? In games,
that they should be allowed to get.
Yeah, let us play, ref. Why are you calling ticky-tack calls?
Oh, I for sure have heard that. And I've seen pro players try to manipulate refs. I've seen them try to talk to the refs so they don't focus on the play clock. They just like start challenging. They try all these weird things, and I think that's hella weak. I'm not a fan of that stuff. But yeah, I have heard it all the time.
Yeah. So I just think that is something that, kind of rubs me the wrong way. The way I look at it, and I had Jacob fielded 1,000 complaints in Nashville because of one particular penalty that I called on every pro team over 3 days' time, and that penalty was illegal equipment.
Okay. What was it?
Brutal. When you put your flags on, they're supposed to be up there to your waist, to your hips, right?
No, the weenies are supposed to stick out.
Yeah, okay, weenies out. Yes, we agree. However, your flag belt is supposed to be tight against your hips, right?
Correct. It cannot be loose and be able to turn it side to side.
Shredded half the tournament. We had, 500 teams up there? 300 of them went through Anfield. Every one of them left pissed.
Good. Tighten your belt. Tighten your freaking belt, man. Tighten your, because what they're doing, Jacob, what they're doing is they're lining up, and when they're in the huddle, it's to their side. When they go line up to as a receiver, they turn it. I see it all the time. I literally will watch the receiver turn it to put it in front of them. Dog, what are you guys doing? Like, why are you cheating like that? Just keep it to the side.
You know why they're cheating like that?
Because I'm strapping them up.
So that's a perfect example of where every time I threw that penalty and I said we got illegal equipment, and I had pro women, pro co-ed, pro men, curry bombers all complained to me about why am I calling illegal equipment? I should just let the pro players play.
And that is not your fault. That is Jacob's fault. And the people running the tournament to make it more clear that you can't do that.
How much more clear do we need to make it? It's in the rule book.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in the rule book. I think having these type of moments where we could teach players that this is the right thing to do. You got to have your little weenies out. Oh, don't put that. Stick it out.
You're becoming a clip with saying that. You said it twice now.
What do you guys call it?
No. At this point, that's what we're calling it.
And then you have to tighten your belt because we were in Hawaii and we're trying to pull flags and it keeps turning. So I politely asked the player, I was like, "Hey, if you don't mind, can you tighten your belt?" And then he started cussing at me, and I'm like, "Oh, dog! Like that's not even my job. That should be the ref saying it." But I wish Ant was there.
Yeah. Hey man, you could have flown me out. I would have been out there.
Well, it wasn't my tournament.
We had an individual. I'll say this. I'm not going to name names or name teams. We had an individual who came to us, and it was if you see who the person was and the fact that they were complaining about this, and I had to go to them and say, hey, this is in the rule book. Like, this is not something, you know, that's – he's not wrong.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but – blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, there's no yeah, but. When you say yeah, but, you're discrediting what else – what's being said or what's being done. It's in the rules. Play by the rules.
What was their argument?
What was their argument? Let them play. Yeah. Let them play. That was – why are we worried about that? That's the argument with it.
God.
Yeah, so Law, since you wanted to blame Jacob, I'm not going to let that stand. So, Jacob, I want you to make sure this weekend that you check every single Curry Bomber to make sure that their belts are tight and they don't switch them halfway through the game, because there is a receiver, Law, on your team. That every single game I had with him in Nashville, come on, man, flip your belt back around. Tighten your belt. Why are you loosening it? Like, come on.
What does his name rhyme with?
Bruise.
No idea who you're talking about. Gotcha.
Never heard of her.
I'll let him know. Thank you.
And it's funny because he is one of those guys that during the game he hates me, and after the game he'll say what's up to me. So every single time he went off to the sideline, he would loosen his belt again, and he would come back on the field. I said, Cruz, come on, man, just tighten your belt. but that's a player that, man, he doesn't need that advantage. He can jump, you know, through the ceiling. Yeah. And, you know, so just act right. You know what I mean? That's it. Fair. Act like a pro, right, Law?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'll chat. You know,
and
he's writing it down
ultimately, the guys that want to make the Olympic team, they're not going to let that stuff go in international play.
Yeah.
So, you know, why do it in tournaments in the United States? Because you think that you can get away with it, you know?
And the problem is they play in leagues and tournaments all over the world that they do get away with it. So all of a sudden, now that it's being called, it's like, you're the jerk now.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a really nice way to put that.
I had some other words for him, but I was like,
no. I saw that. You were loading up, and it was like,
So the final myth that I got to bring up, because Law, I need to make sure that you handle this correctly so that Lance continues to be an official in your league. Is there such a thing as a flag catch?
No, it's either a catch or not a catch. How's that, Jacob?
Hey, man, look, just because Lance is standing on the other side of the camera with a gun, that's
it's either a catch or not a catch. For me, it's, as soon as the receiver has their hands on it, you can't swipe at it. That's my understanding of it. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but yeah.
We're looking for momentary possession and a foot down. That's what we're looking for. And when it comes to strip the ball out, we're looking for control of the ball, for the ball to stop moving in that person's hands.
Did you say momentary control and a foot down or a foot down?
For possession of the ball.
So if I'm in the air and I got momentary possession, my feet hasn't hit, I could punch through?
No. No, for stripping, we're looking for that ball. And if we stop the ball, at that point, it's not a catch, but you can't strip it. You got to let them complete, get a foot down, or, you know, some sense. If you're both going for it and it's bang bang, they're not going to call it. If there's significant time between the two, that's what we're looking for.
Understood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think Lance will continue to work with you guys until you post your next clip saying, is this a flag catch?
With the Game of Thrones theme song to the back of it. I love it. keep asking.
All right, Law, I just want to look forward a little bit with you before you get out of here. I know you are a busy man, but looking ahead to this weekend, San Diego, you are going to be there, right?
I am. I'm so excited. I booked my flight, but we're flying out tomorrow.
So as a team, what is your strongest format this weekend?
As a team, our strongest format is 5-on-5 non-contact and 5-on-5 co-ed.
Okay. And who do you feel like is your biggest rivalry, specifically in this tournament in San Diego?
I got to look at the team list, but we always have good games against Ronin. Who else is in it? Any of the Arizona teams, because they usually, I don't want to say stack their team, but they pull like the best players and put a good team together. So I'm assuming New Dynasty or any of the Arizona teams will have solid teams. Outside of that, I'm sure there's going to be good teams that I just don't know of. Like a lot of the six-man contact teams from SoCal, I'm sure they'll be there. They have some good athletes, good players, good quarterbacks. So there should be some good games.
Yeah. Final question for you, and I don't know if Jacob has anything else. You know, just right to the point. Is the West Coast watered down compared to the rest of the country?
Good God. I'm not going to ask any more questions after that.
Oh, you're asking me or Jacob?
I'm asking you. I already know how Jacob feels.
So short answer is no. I don't think it's watered down. I think that Texas and Florida has been running flag tournaments for forever, and they've been able to grow it for years and years and years, where we've just been started growing it the last 10 years. They've been doing it for 40, 50 years. So they're way, way ahead of us in terms of like building elite and pro teams. So I wouldn't say watered down, but are we far behind? Absolutely. Like, it's not even close. We're super far behind, but we're still able to compete with a handful of teams.
Cool. Well, Jacob, any other questions for Law? Or
I don't have any other questions, man, but thank you so much, man. It's been so much fun talking with you.
I got a couple questions for you guys. Well, I can't say for Ant, but for you, Jacob.
Yeah.
How do you think each division is going to go? Like, if you were to predict winners, unless you're reffing, I don't think you're reffing.
So I'm not reffing. I'm over the referees, but I'll say this. So I don't – Curry Bombers, you're the team I know that's in it right now. That's it.
Okay.
Oh. I don't look at team lists. I don't look at team names until we get there. On purpose, because I don't want to know. I don't want to put, you know, when it comes, like, take assigning officials, for instance, I don't assign officials based on teams. I assign officials based on formats. So I couldn't tell you how it's going to go.
I'll tell you, New Dynasty is winning contact.
Okay.
Both of them? Fives and sixes?
Oh, no, sixes is tough, man. These SoCal teams, they play sixes, like.
Yeah, but, I mean, last time we had this, I mean, they were one half away from winning it all.
Oh, wow. What happened? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer that.
Wait a minute. wait, hold on. The last time it was in San Diego, New Dynasty won.
Yeah. I was just talking about last time in California.
Oh, last time in California. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I walked away as soon as I threw my flag. Yeah. I just got out of there.
Yeah.
I don't.
Meanwhile,
I stay away from fights. I don't want all that. You know, I'm too old.
For what would you guys advise to teams on the West Coast, or how would you encourage them to travel to like Worlds and these other big events? Because a lot of these teams don't travel on the West Coast.
So I would say personally, like if. This is where the West Coast does a really great job of showing good, like, this is going to sound kind of cheesy, but follow me through. They do a really good job of, like, having good community, having good sportsmanship, getting along, for the most part, that I see, getting along. You guys both live out there or have lived out there, so you guys can probably tell otherwise. But from what I've seen at the tournaments we've been at, They all get along really well. They work, you know, while they're playing, they play hard, but, you know, on the sidelines, they get along. I think something that New Dynasty did really well, I think you do it as well, really well, is you take players that aren't on a team that's going to travel, and you take them and put them on your roster so you can go and you can play at Worlds. You can play at these East Coast tournaments, these Texas tournaments. So if I'm looking at other teams, I'm telling them to do the same thing. Hey, if you guys have five or six people, cool, take those five or six. Now go grab four or five from other teams that would want to play, that can travel, and bring them with you. You know, figure out what works well for your team. You don't have to have the same person every time, but get a group together that's willing to do it.
Usually the best players locally can't afford to travel.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Maybe well,
maybe they can't afford it. They just don't prioritize it.
Hey, I mean, law, but you know, at the end of the day, they can afford weed and Hennessy. So
priorities.
Are you against weed and Hennessy?
I mean, I don't partake in either one of those. I don't care what other people do, but I don't. You know, 1998 was a crazy year, man.
I was a child. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I have my time with Hennessy and weed, man.
Okay. This is a different podcast now.
Yeah, exactly. But here's my thing, though, Law. That's a big statement, West Coast, right? Because I would say that the Bay Area does it right. You guys run national rules. You guys do a lot of the formats. So you guys are preparing not only the top-notch pro teams, but all the way to the rec teams. You guys do really good in tournaments at the rec level with teams like Taboo or Heartbreak Kids or, you know, Hidden Village. You know, you guys have a lot of teams that travel. But the thing is, you guys are continuing to play. You guys go through contact and non-contact and air it out and co-ed. You start to travel down to, let's say, Central Florida, they're doing nothing but playing sixes and eights. And the sixes they're playing is not a national format. Mm-hmm. Then you go to Southern California, and every league is against each other. So every league has its own rule book. And barely anybody out there is actually playing national rules. So I think that's what's made Southern California struggle and stay kind of behind the pack, where besides Ronin, who out of Southern California is competing in the pro division? And really the only reason Ronan does is because those guys have played together forever. Those guys are, you know, they've been playing for 20 years as a team. So those guys are so locked in, you know. Then we look at Arizona. They do the same thing the Bay Area does. They have contact, non-contact, co-ed. And like Jacob said, they'll pull guys. I mean, you know, you brought it up. They kind of stack their team. When New Dynasty or New Era brings a team, they've got guys from Tucson, they got guys from Phoenix. They have brought the best they possibly can. Now, from what I experienced more as a player with Colorado, at running a team, the talent could not afford to travel with me. So as an owner of a team, or you know, the guy that ran a team, I had to cover those costs. Because I knew that traveling, I had no chance at winning if I didn't bring the talent with me.
Yeah.
So I think that happens a lot as far as teams that don't really have like as big of a talent pool as some of the big cities. So that's my thought. You have any other questions for us?
How excited are you guys for San Diego?
I'm pumped, man. Yeah. 70 and sunny both days. Can't wait.
Are you guys doing anything before the tournament or after? Like jet skiing and...
No, dog. We're there to work.
Oh, my bad.
I have a red eye home for Sunday night.
No! Okay.
Yep.
And unfortunately for me, I won't be there this weekend, so...
You won't?
No, I will not. So I will be doing stuff remotely. I'll be updating scores and having some live stream videos over the weekend and just, you know, trying to provide people with content that aren't there. But, yeah, unfortunately, I will not be there.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, I appreciate both of you guys. A lot of your guys' clips and like the short videos are so helpful for us to send to players, send to captains, send to teams of like, hey, just here's an explanation because you guys break that things down pretty well. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. And Law, thank you so much for finally coming on the show. I mean, like I said, I know you're a busy guy. We've asked you so many times. I guess your DMs are just always popping. So
I usually don't read them.
Yeah, I know. It gets kind of hurtful, to be honest.
But you're going to hear me screaming from wherever you are. You're going to hear me screaming, DBU!
All right, man. Well, good luck to you out this weekend, and we'll catch up soon.
Cool. Appreciate you guys.
Be good, Law.
All right, love it.
See ya.
All right, man. Well, what a guy, huh?
Man, I love that dude, man. He's so much fun. He's such good energy. He's always fun to be around. He's really an ambassador of the game. So
yeah,
I always appreciate having good conversations with him.
No, and like I said, my first interaction with him was as an opposing player. And he was a dude that whether, you know, they were beating us, whether it was a close game or whatever, after the game, he'd always talk to me. We'd have a good conversation. And you're absolutely right. I think he's definitely an ambassador to the game. And what he's done to, you know, help build up the game in the Bay Area is so huge. And I think, you know, I mean, you can just tell that the youth are getting more involved in flag football, you know, and he's, yeah. And then the fact that I know it's more doula, but they're all involved in it. I mean, they run a women's tournament that is completely free every single year.
Yeah.
You know, because to get more women involved. So I, you know, he brought up that point that it's just a matter of the people are out there that want to play. It's just a matter of putting it together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, so, absolutely.
Cool. Well, Jacob, you have any final thoughts for the night?
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing for me, you know, we're gearing up. Everything's been, you know, been super busy trying to get ready for San Diego this weekend. Everybody who's kind of pulled together these last couple of weeks trying to get the last pieces together to make this work for us, really appreciate them. Really, it really shows everyone's true colors when you get in a time of need and you need help and you need, you know, you're able to lean on certain folks and those folks come through for you. I always appreciate it. I hope they know that. I hope if they see this, you know, I appreciate them. And I'm just looking forward to a good weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope that my biggest hope for San Diego is that I don't want the trend to continue of fights breaking out in Southern California tournaments. Like, it's just, you know, I just want to see guys get away from that. And, you know, I challenge New Dynasty every time I see them, finish the game. You know, that it was a perfect example in LA. They were beating that team by 2 touchdowns. Just finish the game. You know, and I'm excited to see Sixes Contact grow. I remember when that format first came around, and right away I was like, I love this. this format is so much fun. And so it's cool to see that is one of the biggest divisions this weekend is Sixes Men's. There's a lot of teams. I know the Bears are coming out from Colorado. It's been a little bit since we've seen them. And they're also doing some non-contact as well. Bright and early, though, normally Sixes Contact is kind of put on the back burner. We're finishing late at night in the evening. It's the last championship. It is bright and early in the morning. So New Dynasty, the Bears, at bright and early at 9 a.m. I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday. I forget.
Yeah,
but, I'm not sure. Yeah, but I hope to figure out a way to watch that game because – that is a rivalry that has been created through the Sixes Contact format. So sure. I hope that it's a good game, it's good competition, and the fights just, you know, they don't happen. So
yeah,
that's my big hope for San Diego. So I'm definitely gonna miss you out there, man. You're gonna have to get me one of these t-shirts with
this. Oh, here we go. Now we're starting to ask for stuff. Here it is.
No, man, I don't want a t-shirt of a tournament I didn't go to.
There you go. Okay. Well, you just asked for one, so maybe I'll just do what you can for you.
That's like roster checking in a championship game, man. I don't want to do that. So anyway, man, I just, you know, we like to finish off the show just to remind everybody about what we going on, you know, as a podcast. We have merch available. We're, you know, this is the best experience here, listening and seeing us on YouTube. You get to see Law and all the hair he's got going on, or, you know, whatever that was.
What
you know, but we are on every available streaming platform if you want to listen, you know, to the podcast. We're also on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, X, Twitter. We are all over the place. I hear a lot of claims about, you know, being the number one flag football podcast. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We are the number one, world's greatest, voted on by everybody, flag football podcast, okay?
There it is.
You know, so there we go. Please listen, like, subscribe, follow, and continue to check out the content. Jacob, thank you so much for co-hosting, and safe travels out to San Diego.
Appreciate you, bro. Thank you for everything, man. Hey, have a great night. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.